Well, Adolfo, I am thrilled. This is actually one of the shoots I've been looking most forward to because your story is fascinating. So I want you to skip grade school.
Okay.
But start a little bit on where you first got interested in wine and why you decided to make a career out of it.
So I have to go back to grade school a little bit for wine.
Okay.
So I got to
I'm intrigued.
So I started making wine when I was 7 years old with my dad.
Oh, wow.
And it was... I'm not going to tell you it's great wine. It was more like bathtub style wine because we were in Saudi Arabia, which makes no sense. We're Guatemalan.
Okay.
And so Saudi Arabia is a dry country, no wine, no alcohol of any kind. And my dad's like, doesn't work for me. I have to have wine with my dinner. So we started making wine in our bathroom in carboys.
And you were seven.
I was seven.
So you're making wine in a dry country, Guatemalan in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And how long did that go on for?
That went on for 9 years. We did not get caught.
And I'm sure that the statute of limitations has long since expired, so I think you're fine.
I don't think they'll come after me.
No, good. And so what about that experience intrigued you enough to want to pursue it as a profession?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, joking aside, we weren't really making great wine, but the idea that there was always wine at the table and people like us who loved food, it just seemed like an amazing thing to do. Growing up, I thought you had to be born into wine to have a winery or make wine. I didn't think it was something you could follow as a profession.
Right.
I mean, this was, for me, the mid-90s, early 2000s. And there was a program at UC Davis, but I was all focused on science. I wanted to be a marine biologist. That was my thing. Like, needed to get a PhD. I was going to be a scientist, wear a lab coat the rest of my life. That was my goal.
And you went to college for that. You have a degree in chemistry?
Molecular biology.
Molecular biology.
I
was close
stuff.
To that.
Yeah. A few classes different.
Yeah, like 30. other than that, we're very similar. I had chemistry 101. Did that get me on the path?
Chemistry 101's tough, man. It's, 50% dropout rate. So you did good.
Excellent. So you were going to be a marine biologist. And when did you have a sip of wine, or what was your wine epiphany to you leave that industry and get into this one?
So my first wine epiphany, it was 2001, and it was a bottle of 1998 Chateau Souverain Merlot. It was modest wine,
right.
I think $20 bottle. I was a poor, broke college student. It was the most beautiful wine I'd ever had in my life.
Interesting. Chateau Souverain produced some amazing wines in the day.
In the late 90s, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what about that? Did you sit and analyze the glass? Were you just the aromas? You just thought, wow, this is much better than the stuff I have been drinking.
So at the time, Two Buck Chuck was huge, right?
Yep.
And to taste a wine that had complexity in body and just all this elegance in it, it was like nothing I'd ever had.
And then did you jump into more of the study of enology formally at Davis, or decided to just be an apprentice somewhere at a winery?
No, so I was pretty thick, man. I was still steady with my science.
Okay.
And so I graduated and I started making organic pesticides. So I did that for a few years. And when I was making organic pesticides in the Central Valley, California.
Okay.
And I'm from the Bay Area, close to San Francisco, and I wanted to come back home. And so Bayer was in the Bay Area, and they were interested. And so while up here interviewing with Bayer, a friend had told me, you know, wineries need scientists. You could do wine as a scientist, which I thought was crazy, but I applied anyway. So I applied to the big guys, and Claude Dubois up in Geyserville called me back.
Interesting. So you went up to Claude Dubois.
Went up to Claude Dubois in a suit, which I guess in wineries, you don't apply for winery jobs in suits. It's more casual.
Yep.
So I go to the front desk, and there's this beautiful girl at the front desk who checks me in, and I go take the wine tour. And as soon as I smell that cellar, like, I knew this is what I had to do. This was it.
And that smell, it stores in your memory bank, and you never forget it.
Never forget it.
It's impressive. And also, we don't have the fortune that you had, that young, beautiful woman at the desk later became...
Oh, yeah. I married that girl.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. And so that was at Claude Dubois. Where did you go to from there?
So I was at Claude Dubois for 2 years. Took that job with them, half the salary of Bayer. No hesitation. So from there, I went off to work for a cork company while I finished my master's. And from there, I went to Araujo Estate in Calistoga,
wow,
now known as Isley Vineyard.
Yep. And you picked up a lot of specific winemaking traits over the years, but one particular, the barrel fermentation process, I think stands out among all of them, because that is a labor of love,
yeah,
and a lot of labor. So kind of explain to us what that process is and why it's so meaningful to you and where you learned about it.
So barrel fermentation is something I did up at Checkerboard while working with Martha McClellan as her winemaker. So barrel fermentation, to go through the whole process, is it's a common thing for Chardonnay, for white wines, because you press the juice for those guys, you put it straight into the barrel, no problem. But for red wines, you ferment on the skins.
Okay.
So to get it into the barrel, you've got to open the head of the barrel, which takes a bit of effort and a bit of skill. Then you've got to close the head, which is even more effort and more skill. And then you have to ferment inside the barrel, and you're rolling those barrels to get to work the skins, work the caps. And then you have to open it up again to drain out the wine. It's an exponentially more work to make that wine versus just putting it in a stainless steel tank.
And how did you learn about this at Checkerboard?
We did almost all the wines that way.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a shock to me when I started, because I'd heard about it and people talk about it and like, oh, barrel fermentation is so hard. And I thought, how hard can this be? It's pretty hard.
And where did she come up with the idea?
So she had done it at Harlan.
Okay.
Back in the early 90s and early 2000s with Bob Levy.
Got it.
And that was a technique that made them, I mean, Harlan wines are
pretty
gorgeous.
They're pretty special, yeah.
And there's that little extra special aspect to those wines, and it comes from the barrel ferment.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And now, is it the only way you ferment the reds?
For me, for Monroy, it's the only way I ferment.
Okay.
No stainless steel, no plastic, no concrete, only barrels.
And walk us through the portfolio.
So for me, I'm pretty small. So I have, we started this project in 2018, and I have the 2018, 2019, 2020 Cabernet. We have a 2021 in barrel, and now 2022 we'll be making Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Specifically Sauvignon Musquet, with a bit of barrel influence to it, and also Cabernet again.
And is Cabernet your first love?
Cabernet is my first love for wine. I mean, there's no wine I don't appreciate, but you ask me, like, what do you want to make? Cabernet.
Okay.
No hesitation.
And how do people, because when they see this and they learn about the barrel fermentation process, they're going to want to taste this. How do they come and taste with you?
So it has to be by appointment. Mm-hmm. I don't have a tasting room, at least not yet. I mean, it's in the works. We would love to be able to share our wine more with people. But really, there's no way besides buying a bottle or getting in touch with me for a private tasting.
And what is production? You said I'm small, and I don't think people realize small to the industry is one thing, small to Cellar Angels is something else.
300 cases.
300 cases.
300 cases.
There's wineries that spill that.
Yeah, I've worked at those, and I've seen it happen.
So you've worked at some very large houses, and now you're making 300 cases. And one of the things that we marvel at in the industry is when the small guy or gal gets acquired, and then you start working for the corporate owner. So you've done a little bit of both. Compare and contrast what it's like working for a corporate winery versus one that's small, intimate, hands-on.
So imagine yourself as a chef. I mean, you're cooking dinner compared to, imagine you're a chef cooking dinner for 300 people versus cooking dinner for your family. 300 people, everything has to be efficient, right?
Yes.
Everything has to taste good. There's a minimum level of quality that you're willing to accept. When it's just for yourself, you can do whatever you want, make it as beautiful as you want. You let your whole vision come through in it. I mean, there's nothing you wouldn't do.
Right. No, I think the barrel ferment process speaks for itself and is something that we have to see. Should we go check that out?
Absolutely. We can open a barrel. We can close the barrel. I'll let you swing the hammer.
Excellent. Yeah. Cheers. I'm looking forward to this.
Cheers, man. Right on.